It's a great joy to be here in Salford. So is it always sunshine in Salford? Always. I thought so. That's why the BBC are moving up. Actually, I have friends who work for the BBC who have contrary views, so you need to pray for, certainly pray for them, because they're not really thrilled about it. But I'm sure if they knew Salford, they would be thrilled. But I'm sure it's right for them to come up. Anyway, it's a great joy to be here this morning. Great joy this cold winter's morning. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me? We're just going to, it really, this should be a discussion as well, because it's really incredibly practical what I want to talk about. And but we'll do what we can. So if you have a Bible, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 11? Matthew 11, it's a well known passage. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Verse 25, Matthew 11:5. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Well, you know that passage very well, you folk. But I just want to really earth it with the situation that we're in Britain. And I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I guess that in the next year it's going to be difficult. And we live a very busy life. And as you get older, you notice you get busier, not less busy. People say, well, if it's just another 2 hours a day, that would help. 26-hour day, we could get everything done. But everything goes faster and faster and faster, doesn't it? And people, certainly in our fellowship, the fellowships I go around, people are losing jobs, and the big jobs. People say, well, will I have work in 6 months' time, or 3 months, or 12 months? What will it be like? And we have a propensity to worry. Or it may be not that, it may be you have other concerns. Maybe at work it's difficult. I've had a very unpleasant situation this week with one of my children, grown children. Difficult at work. If you think your children leave home, don't believe it. You just send more worries back for you if you don't watch it. But you know, these are huge issues, really. It involves your life. It may be to do with health. You know, you go to the doctors and you do all the stuff you should do. You take your fish oils, you take your bran, you go to the gym, and the doctor says, well, I'm sorry, Stuart, your blood pressure's up, it's just old age. Oh, thank you very much. You know, you think, well, but you can worry, you know, every little thing you can worry. Anxious, and if you have children, well, they're lovely when they're that size, but then as they get bigger, the problems seem to get bigger, don't they? And if you're concerned about them, you're worried about them, their health, their schooling, their education, their partners, and so it goes on. Or it may be your own finances, you know. We do a lot of debt counselling, and it's huge, the amount of people in debt, Christians. Or any kinds of things. We live in a very frantic, restless age. And it's a great time to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a good news, and we have to know it. Because what is the problem? The problem is, we have ideas that are taught to us by our parents, not consciously, that become gods in our minds, idols, if you like, yokes, I'm going to use that illustration. Things that we live by, that drive us, things inside, deep inside us. And Paul puts it, the Apostle Paul puts it in the first, in his letter to the Romans. He says, you know, people have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That sums the whole of Britain up and the world. by and large. People exchange the truth of reality for a lie and believe things will ultimately lead to disaster, to destruction. And these things, these yokes, these things in our mind are not easy to remove. I would be unkind to say they are easy to remove. That's why we need many things, as we see, to help us. But we can get free. We can get free. We're here this morning because we have been equipped to get free and to live the life God meant us to live. And, you know, well, you say, well, I've got to earn a living. No, you don't have to earn a living. The first thing you have to do is to follow God. That's the first thing you do. Some money's too expensive. You know? And, but it's to do with our heart's belief that Jesus comes to us. Jesus says, look, if you know the truth, you'll really be free. You will be free indeed. So our task is to know the truth. So Jesus says these very familiar words that you know all too well. And Jesus says, come to me. And I want to say that this morning. Because I was, as we were worshiping, you can come to church and not come to Jesus. It's true, isn't it? You just come to church. You sing the song, it's a nice song. And now the great thing is that we say at the beginning, and Matthew puts it in place, the person we're coming to is the second person of the Trinity. He is God. We have just read, all things have been committed to me by my Father. This is the second person of the Trinity. This is the Holy One of God, the one who with the Father and the Spirit created the worlds with the Word. This is God. All things on this planet have been committed to Jesus. Right? So the person we're talking to, who we're coming to you this morning, and every morning, is none other than God Himself, the Son of God. So Jesus, come to me. Now the thing is, the tragic thing is, and even as Christians we can realize, we think, no, the first thing in Christian life is to go. No, it isn't. The first thing is to come. I came up, drove up the motorway yesterday. The first thing I did was not come up here, go to Manchester, Salford. The first thing I did was fill it with petrol. That's a requisite. I learned years ago it's just cheap to run on a full tank as a nearly empty tank. So the first thing is you fill. The first thing in life is to come to Jesus every morning, every time, every situation. We come to Him, to this person. Living, but we can't see him, but we come to him. And he says, come to me, not to a sermon, not even to communion, not to church, but to him personally, and not to a pastor. And he says, I will give you rest. Now, that is the best offer in town. That's better than all the January sales. It's better than a bin of diamonds. This is the best offer. We live in a world that is crying out for peace. They'll do anything for peace and tranquility and rest of soul and spirit. Jesus, I will give it to you. And it's a great thing. And when you come to Him, well, you know well, we come and we find forgiveness. We find that all our past has been dealt with. We're forgiven. All our misdemeanors, our sins, whatever you call it, have been dealt with, put on the cross. Not in part, but the whole, the lot. And we find this peace. It's wonderful. And we find the Holy Spirit, we're given power. And we find a peace of our conscience and power to live. We find that we have somebody with us all the time. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. When we set out tomorrow, how bad the work is or how bad the domestic situation is, Jesus, I am with you. Paul says, look, I know whom I believe in. And I am convinced that he's able to keep that which I've committed. That is, I've given my life to him. He's going to look after me. So when you come, you get all these things that just initially. We're aware of these things. And because he is God, he's able to deliver them. He's able to deal with. No matter what the grot and the evil you've done in your past, he's able to deal with you. But who can come? Who can come? Well, the great thing is Jesus, all. He says, come. All who are weary and heavy laden. or burdened. But I'm, you know, I come this morning, my mind's on my health. I don't know, you know, my mind's on my money, or my children, or the future, or my house, or whatever. I'm weary, I'm burdened, I'm overwhelmed by these things. I'm preoccupied, my mind, I'm just preoccupied. I know, I've been praying all morning. One of my children says the real situation. And I know if he's like me, he will be just preoccupied. He'll go to church, but I know he'll be thinking about all the time. The guy can preach. I know if he's like me, he'll be wired to this problem. And Jesus says, stop. Just stop. Let's just get this sorted as we can. You know, come all you are weary and heavy laden and burdened. Come, whether you're limping, you're walking, you're struggling, you're crawling, you whatever, just come. Come this morning. Lord, I have so little faith, but I come. And we don't just come to anybody, we come to one who is Lord. Not just to one who will fix our problems, but one who wants total control of our life. If we come to one whom the Father's committed to all things. And it's like, you know, down in London, even today, you get these wonderful cruise liners comes in. And the huge things. But as soon as they hit the Thames estuary, they hand over to a pilot because there's a lot of sandbanks, a lot of piers, a lot of, you know, things they can hit. And he takes over. And when we sung that song years ago, didn't we? But you know, when you give your life to Jesus, it's not, well, he's my Savior, I tick my boxes, the sin bit's dealt with. No, this is totality. We're talking about God. We come to me. And he takes over. He won't be our servant in that sense. He's our Lord, or not at all. But I want to look at this. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, I mean, I go to India a lot, and where I sleep, as I look out of my bedroom, I can see all the people literally ploughing with the plough. They have a yoke on the ox or whatever's ploughing, the buffalo, or they put a yoke on it of some kind. Or a horse, to put a little yoke on the horse. Well, it's not quite a yoke on a horse, is it? It's a harness, but you see on the things in the fields. Now, Jesus would make these. Jesus and his stepdad, Joseph, had a carpenter shop, and they were best yokes sold here. These are the best in town. Now, Jesus is saying, look, I want to exchange your yoke for these ones, because my yoke are the best. My yokes fit. They're light. They're just, you know, like my son bought a new bike the other day. You know, the old bikes you used to have as kids, you could hardly lift them. Well, you can lift this huge, beautiful bike. It's amazing. It's lovely light. Jesus says, you know, grace is light. It's like that. My yokes are like that. We make the best. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. I want to swap it. But he said, well, I don't want a yoke. I don't want a yoke. I want a rest. I want a mattress. I want a holiday. I want a bed. I don't want a yoke. I'm sorry. You have responsibilities. All of us have responsibilities. All of us. Life is a series of responsibilities. Whether you win or lose in life depends on the way you tackle these responsibilities, right? The ideas in your mind that enable you to take all the responsibilities you'll face this afternoon and tomorrow. And Jesus said, if you want to face this chain of responsibilities, take my way of living, my yoke, and you'll find it's easy. Now, you're still, as Christians, a cross to carry, and that's another story. You still have trials to face. You still have responsibilities. You still have problems. You still have all these things that will constitute our daily responsibilities. But just if you want to win, let me show you how to go through them. You can't escape them. You can't stick your head in the sand or go and live in the desert. And you can't do that. You take your problems with you. No. You've got to have a yoke. We all have a thing around us that enables us to pull through the problems of life. My way, says Jesus, is easy. It's light. Still work. Never going to get away from that. If you do this, it will change your life, right? I was talking to a lady. Said, what was the thing that changed your life? Biggest thing in your, as you remember, she said, it was when we got an automatic washing machine. It was amazing. Now, some of you ladies have lived long enough to know before the days of automatic washing machines where you had Monday and you had all that toil and boil and all that stuff. And then, do you remember the day came in the 60s? It's a long while ago, I know, but you know, an automatic washing machine, and you stick the stuff in, and then you could go away and drink endless coffee. No, I don't mean that. But it's a huge thing, wasn't it? Well, it's a bit like you said, yeah, I'm going to, you need to get rid of that old wringer and mangle and all that stuff. you can have an old, this automatic washing machine. It's as good, it's better than that. It's better than that. He says, look, the key to it is this. You've got to learn from me. Yeah, you can come to the front, we'll pray, but that won't do it. It'll help. But actually, Jesus said, it's a learning thing. You have to learn. Children will go to school tomorrow. They start at 4 or 5, and they go now till early 20s. And in the Christian life, Jesus says, you're learning all the time. Learn from me. I'd like to think it's instant. No, you've got to learn, because you have things in your mind that need removing, and truth needs to be programmed in. Because we come into the kingdom and we have a lot of wrong ideas that need to be unpacked. And, well, let's look at them. You know, well, let's look at them. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my grace is great. It works. Maybe John the Apostle says, you know, his commandments, they're not burdensome. They're great. Well, first thing is, and obviously, you have to get rid of the old way of living. You can't live like the world lives. You know, the materialistic lifestyle. You have to realize from day one you have to live differently. You have to exchange. It's an exchange life. I mean, I remember reading that book, John Krakow. What's it called? It's on that 1996, Into Thin Air, wasn't it? When they went to Everest, and about 9 or 10 people died one evening because the weather changed on the summit. But in that book by John Krakow, he talks about this lady, this Sandy Pittman, this millionaire socialite. Because you realize that Everest, dozens of people try the summit in that narrow window when the weather's decent. Anyway, he said this woman, she had this Sherpa called Lopsang, and he hauled to the base camp. An 80-pound burden, which included a satellite phone, 2 IBM laptops, a video camera, 3 35mm cameras, a digital camera, 2 tape recorders, a CD-ROM player, a primer, an espresso maker, and enough solar panels and batteries to power the whole project. Well, he had to say to her after base camp, we can't take those to the top. Now, we have to realize it's a Christian life. You can't... Jesus is a narrow way. There's certain things won't go. And you've got to get rid of that yoke, the yoke of pleasure, and we're going to live, you know, as the world lives. No, it's a different yoke. You've got to choose a different way of living. If you're going to face these situations, you're going to take my yoke. You've got to get rid of all that stuff. I will be your saviour, but not your sherpa. The second thing, which is probably what this passage is about, the yoke he's having in God is what the rabbis call the yoke of Torah. The yoke of the law. They're saying, if you want to get right with the living God, if you remember Harold's prayer, which led us one of the communion, how do you get before a holy God? Well, they were saying, you've got to keep the law. You've got to keep the Sabbath and the special days. You've got to eat kosher food. You've got to fast. You've got to pray. You've got to keep all the other laws. And the oral law came to them to equal the same as a written law by Jesus then. And it was a burden. Now, initially, the law is a good thing. Now, I look at your church bulletin that you're going through Hebrews. Well, you'll know that Hebrews is a great... It says the law is but a shadow of the things that are to come. Doesn't it? Now, it's 12 o'clock. Go outside. If the sun's shining, which way will your shadow fall? 12 o'clock. Every day, if it's sunshine, come on, you all the Boy Scouts, fun? Precisely, thank you. I'm glad there's some Boy Scout among us. It always points north, right? Even in Salford, on a bad day, not my son. The writer of the Hebrews says, all these things point north, point to Jesus. They're a shadow. The shadow outside is not the North Pole or magnetic north. It only points to it. All these things of Torah, which was great. Paul says the law is good and great. But actually it was just a shadow to point to the real thing. Jesus says, now the real thing is trust in me. That's all you have to do. Get rid of the yoke of Torah, which was fine, but it was only a shadow. And trust me for everything, everything. You don't have to do these things. My spirit will enable you to do them in a different way, but just trust me. And you can only get right with God. There's no other religion, no other way except one way, trusting Jesus Christ, God's own Son. I mean, Paul says to the Galatians, he says, if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ has died in vain. And he says later, the Galatian Christians, says, you're all sons of God, or daughters of God, or children of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. It's through faith. You get rid of this yoke of Torah, which was a terrible burden. It really didn't fit most days. And you take my yoke. Trust me, trust me. So that's the second thing. The third yoke, and I'm just ahead, give you the headings this morning, is really what I would call the yoke of personal credit. You know, what am I worth? What are you worth? What are you worth? What they mean in Salford usually is how much do you get for a living? Or how big is your pension? How big is your stock, you know, stocks and shares portfolio? Not too big, probably. Not nowadays, anyway. But, you know, that's what people think. How big is your house? Because that's what you're worth, isn't it? You know, how big is your salary? How big is your place at your place? How your status in your place? And you work for it all the time. And you build up your worth as you go on. That's what he's worth a lot. He lives in a posh street and so on. What he's worth a bit. That's his credit, you see. Or else it can be in the church. Or she's a tireless worker, never stops. Wonderful. Couldn't do without her. And you come to this, to do this and depend on it. Like at work, men, I know men and women at work endlessly. And the thing they fear most, because they love their work, is redundancy. Or retirement. Don't want to retire. I'm not going to retire. No, I couldn't retire, you know. And all that business. Because, you know, their indispensability is what they're worth. Oh, it's just wonderful. Tireless. And what we do without it. That's why many of us are so busy. Because inside, the thing that gives us worth and kudos and meaning in life is this credit balance we think we have, which you affirm. Jesus, actually, it'll wear you out. It'll never bring you peace. It's a terrible thing. You know, and it's justification by work, really. We sing on, you know, we trust Christ, but on Monday we trust what we do. You know, what people think about us. And we're afraid of being a nobody, aren't we? And our fulfillment comes from doing stuff, maybe preaching. That's why so many men and women spend so much time at work. They genuinely like the work because that is what gives them their buzz in life. That's what they live for. I'm not saying work is evil at all, but it should. When it becomes the most important thing, it becomes an idol. And God is meant to be God, not work, or fulfillment, or personal credit. And it becomes idolatry. And the most frightening words in life is, pick up your P45, we can't afford you anymore. And we make an idol of work, and everything else is pushed to the margins. And we live a life of anxiety, whether people are going to like us, or whether we're going to keep our work or our job. It's because we have in our mind a God. We wouldn't say he's the God, but in reality, that is the God that we live for. And our self-importance. I've said many times, Jesus was never busy. C.S. Lewis says, a busy person is a lazy person. I agree. What do you mean? Jesus did the hard thing. Every morning, he found out what the Father wanted, and he only did that. And people say, oh, they're old people, come to me. I'm sorry, I've got to go to other villages. You can't go to other villages. And Father says, we go. That's what you have to do. You have to find out what the will of God and do that. That's what the yoke is. Jesus, that leads to peace and fulfillment. And we want to be busy, you know. See, fundamentally, I am not primarily a father or a grandfather or a preacher or whatever. I am primarily a justified sinner, made a son of God by Jesus. That's all I am. That's all I am, all I ever want to be. You know? But we are, you know, I know, and I work among church workers, and they're terrified of being called I used to know people in the Brethren who were full-time paid by in the circuit of Brethrenism, and they were terrified of being seen doing something which was not considered spiritual, cutting the lawn, you know, midweek. But you said, it's like somebody rings the pastor and says to the pastor, I rang you on Monday, there's nobody in. He said, oh, it's my day off, it's Monday. Ah, they said, the devil has a day off. He never has a day off, the devil. And the pastor said, yeah, well, that's why I took a day off, because I don't want to be like him. You know, when Jesus ascended, he sat down. Some of you Christians need to sit down. Now, I'm well aware some of you people are lazy so-and-sos. This sermon is not for you. That's next week. But seriously, you may be just lazy. What I'm talking about doesn't apply to you at all. You need another word. I'll leave that to the elders. But this is what it's about. You know, see, we live in a world that's going faster and faster and faster, don't we? You know, you don't even need to go to Dean's Gate to order a book now. You get it for your computer, about two dots, and you've ordered it. And in a day, it's there. Amazing. You never left your street in Salford. Or else, now this would never happen in house, and my wife is not here, so I can say it. But you know, 4 minutes in the microwave, bing, and it's there. Now, I know none of you people have microwave meals, but it's a possibility. But it's wonderful, isn't it? 4 minutes on my own, it's hot and steaming. Quick! And drip, well, sort of non-iron shirts, just drip dry now. It's amazing, just hang them up. Everything's quick and it gets quicker and it's going to get quicker. You're now going to have your computers and you're probably on the side of the bed eventually. You won't even get out of bed eventually. But everything is getting faster and faster. I came up the motorway yesterday and I was doing 70 at one stage on the slow lane, and I was the slowest car by a long way. I'm not saying that to accuse other people. I'm just saying we just live in an incredibly busy... Where are we all going to at that rate? It's just the culture, isn't it? And we crash and burn. Now, as Christians, we have to live differently. We have to... You said, I want you as my people to be restful people. You want to talk about evangelism? The people who I would follow to become a Christian, if I was a Christian, were people who had peace. Shalom. Not shouters, not people who are bellowing and razzmatazz. No, the people I would really want to be like are people who have a level of peace and rest about them. Jesus, I want to give you rest. I mean, the psalmist says, you know, he said, I have filled my soul like a weaned child. I love it. I did with his mother. Just we wean the child spreads at peace. You've got to be like that. It's a big thing. Jesus said, you have to learn from Jesus. But I want to be necessary. Jesus, look. You are not necessary, but you are loved. You are significant. You are special. You are safe. But you may not be necessary in the world sense. But we're out of that race now, aren't we? But the next yoke is, as you know, which is linked to that, is what will other people think? That's a huge yoke in my mind, a huge God. What will people think? You can't go out from our house dressed like that this morning. What will people think? And John and I were talking about those days in the years that passed where if you were in Salford, you had to clean, wash your bit of pavement outside and then get your two different types of scouring stones and do these things. We used to sell them in the shop. Scouring stones. See me later, I'll tell you what they are. But you know, and they would say, she never does it, you know, she's a dirty so-and-so. I mean, we all do it, but she never. What would people think, you know, before we're talking about, you had newspapers up, we had curtains at your house. Well, it depends what newspaper you had up, doesn't it? But what would people think? Pardon? Out on the washing line. Well, the holes in it. Yeah, well, what do you... You can't hang that on the washing line. My wife said to me, you can't do the house with that holes in that sweater. Because if I choose to feed the moths, I can do what I like. It's my sweater. You are not leaving this house. What will people think? Now, I joke, but this is huge. Huge. It's a killer, this. It'll kill your life. You know? Well, I'm not leaving work before 6 because nobody else does. Yeah, but you're a father. What will people think if I'm the first to leave the office? It doesn't matter what people think. What matters is, what is the will of God? What does Jesus want? I mean, I've seen it in the brethren. When I was in brethren, you don't raise your hand. What will the elders think? It doesn't matter what the elders think. What does the word of God say? You can't speak in those. Why? Well, what will they? I don't care what the elders... I do in one sense. I'm very submissive. Sorry, John. But not if it's contrary to the word of God. And most elders actually were quite reasonable if you talk to them. Seriously. I don't know about this lot, but most were. But seriously, the key thing is, what does the word of God say? It's a huge thing in the Christian church, isn't it? What, you know, what will they think? We have to be big enough to say, well, what doesn't matter? I mean, we have to learn to say no. I mean, for instance, the other day in one of our church meetings, we have night shelter. Like, imagine night shelter in Salford, the street, the homeless people. And I'm thinking, I know the people who do it. The people who are looking after the girls' brigade, the boys' brigade, the boy scouts, looking after the mums and toddlers, yeah, looking after the over aliens. All these people who are doing all that, they'll be the people who do it. And their husbands and wives are like, oh man, not another job. They're going to work for the night now. Well, they said, well, who'll do it then? If I don't... That is not the issue. The issue is, has God commanded you? That's the issue. You know, people ring me up and say, I don't know where they're going. Will you deliver envelopes on your road? For leprosy or the blind or the lifeboats. You know, I get dozens of them. I mean, seriously, I don't know why I don't deserve this. But, you know, I say, I'm so nice. Because I'm a trustee of 2 charities which take a lot of my time, and I have to say no. And people say, you call yourself a Christian. Yeah, but actually, Father hasn't given me the okay to do it. Now, I'm just saying, this is me. You have to learn to die to what the president... See, I know, when my living, what I do is preach, that's what I do, and teach. I love compliments. I like people say, that was great. I always get one or two at the door, and please, I'm going to leave fast today. But you know, who get me? You know, you all your preachers know it's like, you always get somebody. And you think, what do you remember when you get home? I know you only remember one thing. You know? Well, what did you say? Well, did you do the right thing? Yeah. I mean, this situation I've got this week with one of my children. I said, did you do your best? Yeah, absolutely, I did my best. I made mistakes. But he's, you know, being rattled by senior. That's all you can do. Yeah, but what? You're concerned what she could lose my job. She is not in charge of your future. She is in charge of your future. Christian, hear that this morning. Well, I may lose my job. Jesus is your Lord. He is the Father is your Father. He is more concerned about you than anybody else. Yes, but no, but Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What if I'm out of work? I will look after you. This book is either true or let's finish now. God is true. Now, all the promises of God find their yes and amen in Jesus. And all I'm saying is, we have to learn to say no. And our peer pressure is huge. It's deep in many of us. The worst thing anybody would say is, somebody said to one of my relatives, she's a lazy person. That phrase has haunted that person all her life. And so the rest of her life, she's devoted herself to proving that person was wrong. She says, I only do what I see my Father doing. You have to be like that. Because otherwise you'll be known as a great worker, but you'll be out of the will of God, and you'll be restless, and you'll have no peace. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. You know, but I know it makes you feel good to have compliments, but actually the fear of men lays a snare. If you want to be a prophet, or the wife of a prophet, or the, you know, welcome to unpopularity. But it doesn't matter. What matters is, what does the Father want? What does Jesus want? The fear of men lays a snare, says the promise. And Jesus says, you've got to come and learn from me. I will instruct you. It takes time. I've thought a lot about this. It takes time. You know, everything's so quick, but it takes time. We have to learn to sit there. We come to his school. And you see, the average Christian in Britain watches 4 hours television a day. And the average Christian child probably watches more. Who are they learning from? What standards are they learning? What standards are we learning? And yet we begrudge it if we, you know, have to sit through any meeting or any length of time. Now, I'm not into a long, I'm just saying, you need to work out whether it's tonight when you knock it around, what does, you know, the Lord is, what does it mean for me that the Lord is my banner? Get it into your head. It's so important. We have to learn. I'm committed to learn. And we're all committed, aren't we? Some of us aren't salaried anymore. We're committed to learn, aren't we? We never stop. Jesus teaches us. And then we have to learn about God's greatness, like you do in the evening. His wonder, His power, His beauty, His glory. Tell me the old story, for I forget so soon. You know? And also, you know, we have to take the yoke off that. You know, I'm in control. You know, now there is a sense in which we've got to, you know, do all we can to get our act together. But actually, at the end of the day, He's in charge. You know, in charge. He's in charge. And you know, this credit crunch is interesting. I mean, the government, whatever you think about doing, everything they can to sort it out. I've not whether it's right or wrong, they are doing everything they can. But you get this sense, don't you, that this thing is outside their hands. You get this sense, this is bigger than, even, this is something bigger than this. There's gods in this. If you live a materialistic life, you will reap the whirlwind, which is what we're reaping. If you're going to live that way. He's in charge. And we want to be in charge. And he said, no. I mean, some comedian says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I thought that was a great line, that. You know, sometimes we just have to trust Him. He's infinite. He's in charge. Some of you have come this morning worried about the future, about your health, about your children, about your parents, about... He's in charge. I have to say that. When I go down the M, whatever it is, 6, some days it's desperate. And the Lord gets said, who's in charge, you know? I knew this traffic jam before you set off. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of your health? He's in charge. The number of our days is measured out for us. But He's in charge. He's in charge of your job security. Don't worry. Your foreman is not your foreman. Jesus is Lord. Right? You know, what's the most popular command in the Bible? What is it? The most popular command. What command in the Bible is... the most popular one in the Bible, the most common. Fear not. 366 times. Fear not. I mean, the Lord knew that we're a fearful people, didn't He? Fear not. God's word, fear not. Yes, but no. He's in charge. Fear not. You're not in control. Get rid of that yoke to start with. You know, He's in charge. And you're not the Messiah. I mean, as a young man, I'm going to his wedding soon. And his big thing is evangelism. I mean, he's just mad on evangelism. He's paid by, I better not tell you because you know the organisation. And he goes on the buses in London every day. And then he goes to preach at King's Cross. And he said to me, I was sharing some of that at his church. And he said, you know, I said, I didn't want to take Christmas Day off. I wanted to feel I was working. I said, Sunshine, you know, God can evangelize the world without you. In fact, we can't save a soul, can we? They've got to be born from above. You can witness. But at the end of the day, you know, what we have to do is people of peace. This chap, he said, I cannot stop working. Witness on the buses. Now, he said, it's exemplary. But it goes to a point where it becomes wrong. You know, Jesus can't cope without me. Yes, He can! Now, praise God for His zeal and all that, but, you know, the devil will take you too far, won't he, on one way. Work hard, my friends. Love your wife. Testify to Jesus. Witness to Him. But actually, trust Him. Take His yoke. I remember one woman, she adopted 12 children, and she was a widow. She had her own children. Adopted 12, not adopted, fostered. And she'd done it. And she said, and they said to her, how do you manage? She said, because I made a partnership, I said to the Lord, you do the worrying and I'll do the working. And I thought, that's pretty good. You know, actually, I'm going to take his yoke. I mean, there's many more. My time has gone, isn't it? And we need to stop. But, you know, there's the yokes of money. I must have more and more, buy more. I must buy more. I must travel more. I must have a bigger thing and all the rest. You know, this consumes society. I tell you, it is thin. We've grown up with it in Protestantism, like you, those of us in this room, many of us. But you know, you go abroad and you think, God, we don't need all that stuff. And yet we bought into it. We're going to drop the center. We go down these, get shop and shop. Now we get 10 shirts for £5 now at Primark. You know, what do I need all those shirts for? You know, you buy and buy and buy. It's wrong, my friends. It's money, materialism. You know, let me just ask you this. If someone has an adulterous affair in this church, elders' wives, friends, what would you say to them? I'm having a sexually adulterous affair with this person. How much time do you think I ought to spend with her? What would you say? You would say, flee and life, put your running shoes on and never get near again. You know, we're having a love affair with consumerism in the church in Britain. And we paddle around. You know, some of us think that they have got to say, just flee from it, get rid of that yoke of money and belongings and possessions. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And then that leads to workaholism. You know, I love my work. I know my work's wonderful. Yeah, but you know, actually what happens is you become a thief when you're a workaholic. Because you rob your relations, your wife and your children, of relationship. You rob them of everything apart from money. And actually they don't probably want your money, they want you. Oh, I must work and when I get to this stage in life, then you'll have time. Never gets like that. I told you before, I used to work in a veterinary practice and this guy worked every day for 18 months. And at the end of 18 months, one of the partners just died. His wife was in child, pregnant. But they want to work and work and work. And then when they got the practice set up, then they would have a rest. Doesn't work that way. It's an idol. You've got to give it workaholism. Then there's the other idol of, you know, the modern youth. We've got to experience everything. We've got to experience everything. Grab every experience, you know. Whether it's travel, whether it's drugs, whether it's music, whether it's, you know, that we might be fulfilled. We've got to do it. You know, I'm going to bungee jump. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to keep fit. I'm going to go to the South Pole. I don't know. Everything. I've got to do it. Get it in my CV. I've done it. It's interesting. They did a thing. What were the things that people most wanted to do before they died? Do you know what the top one was? You won't believe it. Well, you probably will. To swim with a dolphin. The most popular thing. Well, not in Salford Keys today, probably. I mean, and I think number 18 was to see Earth from space. Well, goodness me. But we always experience, when I've got these experiences, this, you know, when I've grabbed up, then I'll have peace and joy. No, it doesn't work, my friends. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You have a choice, my friends, this Sunday morning. Jesus says, come on, this Sunday morning. Come to me. Just to me. Stop. Just stop. Lift your heads and just give me, just listen to me. Just listen to me. He speaks chiefly through the Bible. Read the Bible every day. And it's one of them. He speaks every day. Every day Jesus speaks. It's a living book and the living God speaks to it. He speaks other ways, but, you know, for most of us, this is the chief way. And come, she says, learn. Let me program them the right way. Learn from me. Say no to anything unless I say yes. Just listen. This is my number. Is this your number one priority in 2009? What is it? I want to learn from you. Not because I want a religious peak. No, no. But actually, I want life. I want peace. I don't want to be a frenetic nerd that's forever. No, no. Jesus says, learn from me. You will find, it's interesting, you find rest. When you become a Christian, he says, look, I give them rest. But then it goes on, then you find rest. You see? It's got to find rest. Now you're Christians. First few days, he gives you rest. Then as you learn, you find rest. And all these years and idols, these false liars and robbers that are in our mind, we need to get rid of them. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, who says, I do many things life, but one thing I do, I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. Because if you learn from Him, Jesus says, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. All of you weary and heavy laden this morning, come. Come, says Jesus. Not to me, or John, or anybody, but to Jesus. He's alive. He's risen. He's ascended. He loves you passionately. He says, come, learn. Let me teach you every day. I know you're busy, but enroll at this school before any other night school or day school. Enroll. Yeah, but I'm 75. I don't care how old you are. I'm only 18. I don't care how old you are. Enroll this morning. Come on. Learn. We'll learn. And see, this is just an eternal school. All the other yokes are just temporary. But we're building for eternity, aren't we? That's what we're on about. This life is. Some of us will soon be gone. But it doesn't matter if we're believers, is it? Because we're building for eternity. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. I just thank you for these great people here. I just pray that I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll give them wisdom, that in the business of their life they will renounce these things that have stuck on them like clams, like leeches from the world. I pray you'll throw them off and they'll take your yoke. Really pray, Lord, that you'll give them wisdom. Say, like the Apostle Paul, that we will learn. One thing I do. Lord, I pray they'll do that. Lord, I pray that what I've said that's of any sense would burn into their hearts and help them. Lord, I just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.